So did you notice whether the radio observer arrived before the gamma ray and the delays? All right, so our topic, we're sort of looking to the future in this last session. Christmas is coming up. We've all been good. And so, you know, what do we need for the future? What is the most important topic to keep around? Obviously, Fermi, I hope someone would say that.
VLBA.
And the VLBA. All right.
Don't kill them.
I think a lot more in looking at flares, right, with high signal to noise, in order to, you know, when the flares happen, that's when we get really good signal to noise, so we want to catch a bunch more 3C454 type action, and we want to do correlations with other wave bands. Is there other ammo that we can give to our friend?
We're going up to retirement age, so
if I take beyond, that's okay. Well, the ACELs, right, and are only going to be flaring above some level. So, if you're interested in galaxies, and then suddenly there's a new galaxy detected in gamma rays, and that's what you want, you're not going to get it that way.
Okay.
one that comes out every week, and it reports on all sources that are connected at a fairly significant level during the week. Now, there's a delay there of about a week to a week and a half, but it's there.
And it would call out sources of unusual interest for one reason or another.
So the problem is that Fermi's or taking information that I've got GPN now from what telephone scanner we don't know, for example.
I think it needs more coordination. All these sources go into some different things.
Yes.
How do you know which person you're going to have? There are a lot of objects.
But still, there might be a couple of those which we expect to come up, right? And I think at different observatories, there should be persons ready to kick off observations. It's not enough to disseminate the information, like you Fermi guys do, and it's a great service, right? But there must be recipients ready to
see
that information.
Ready to.
And I think we need coordination between the instruments on source as well.
It sounds like you need an email list of people who have access to
telescopes.
Yeah,
it would be nice to have. So, if you see, there are several sources that have a very long term variability cycle on oil wavelength. We started to see in gamma rays that were very bright in the heat. Now very fine, gamma now very. Then there are some sources that have this long period of activity, like 1.54 and others. So you can also think, have a bank for each. You can organize or be ready to serve those more or less nation, or there or whoever.
Well, what about we see the, if the core should suddenly brighten? Then would that put us on alert to get better optical coverage?
Then you're speculating by one, right?
Yeah. So you're already too late.
Somebody who's willing to take this on is their baby.
To duplicate effort on the same object by different groups. So now we are entering the global science approach.
decide that there are the object of a just one paper, the problem is have paper with the 500 names, so he's not very happy for all, but just to have a fast publication that space for interpretation, many other people that do not need the paper to be used to have this coordination among the leaders of this project that are all the support of the Fermi. They are not one people that can coordinate and that group can select people that can follow a paper for a campaign and so on. Now, if you want to understand better things, and
would it be useful that the community tried to set up some framework?
For yes.
Or do you think that individuals like David Panekard would find that it
would be better to have a framework?
There's a network. This is basically the same thing.
My question was more, if you set up such a framework, would you make it easier for those persons to come up on the stage and say, this is my source and I'm going to put my time on it?
Yeah, indeed. It could be suggesting that. And also have a better coordinated network of these people. Because really.
PCN.
Something like that. Just to have a better exchange of information and make a point that all people interested to observe some sources are updated about the status of the observation of that source. Or
it sounds like what Robert is suggesting is a sign-up fee for each event or each source, and then somebody can sign up for it. And then you probably have to give an expiration date where if they don't produce the paper by that date, then their name gets dropped. And that's open again.
They can send the mail for people, the hospital afterwards, then that's all the red.
And after this, they collect the data.
They would need to broaden it out, though. This is such a multi wavelength activity.
Well, yes, I think, but the written example is the hospital.
It's just a bit worse.
Now, let me remind you that there actually is a mailing list. It's called the GAMMAMW mailing list. And anybody can send the message on that mailing list. It goes out to a large number of people across the spectrum and signed up in this field. Very much that is called GammaRaiser.
Add that to the website?
You can access it through the Fermi website, And these are archived messages. You do have to sign up to be part of it. And somebody, I'm one of them, does moderate not the messages but the participation in this, so it hopefully reads out spam. And this can be used by anybody, and I see very few people use it. Something that actually originated with a Veritas workshop on multi wavelength back at the Apple Planetarium years ago. And it's a starting point. It's not the answer, but it's one step.
It's like a good piece of the infrastructure.
Okay, so we've been talking about covering flares, and that's good. What about filling in gaps in the SED? What do we need? We heard during the meeting we heard a bit more coverage in the infrared. I guess we should remind everybody that there's this new billion-dollar ground-based facility, ALMA.
Yeah, get time on it. I mean, they're Churchill and they're in Twitter to get time on it, but it'd be great to talk get time on those things because they're controlled by the coal. Dust people.
Oh, also, we're going to be missing X-ray. RPE is going to be turned off next month. And we have equipped a sporadic, a more sporadic opposition. But on the horizon, there's the idea to satellite, and then there's the European proposed launch satellite. But my feeling is that the real deficit that we have is hard X-ray satellite that can do some kind of monitoring. That's exactly what it does, kind of longer integration.
How long? How long? How long? How long?
Yeah, how long will it do the higher energy? What's that?
How long?
How long? How long? I thought it was all sky. Again.
But
you need something that can do monitoring, where these things I don't think are suited for that.
For monitoring, I see that the only issue of the X-ray is that can be reported to the mana that you want.
Yeah.
Time that you want. I don't see any other mission in the X-ray that would be safe.
Too many of them have these windows of when they can observe the source. It's only like 45 days or so. So I guess the next event is for example, it only has a couple of windows from here.
But the thing is just.
And not for a long time.
That is
the
radio. We don't bother fitting those points, so we
don't
really need
to warn. Well, the radio has actually been fairly good, right? They have Metsahobi doing mostly now 7 millimeters. You have the SMA calibrator that's doing shortwave lengths. The department probably just continues to do the sort of millimeter wavelengths as well. I assume Alma will also be doing using calibrators. At least ours is calibrators. Same thing. Then you have the Allers. The Allers telescope looks like it probably won't be around too much longer. But then Caltech is saying the highest frequencies now monitoring constant. They find that polarization. So there's a lot being done. There's a PLDA monitoring by Hobby, by our group, and then others are doing it in different sources. I've always thought the radio is fairly well. Then the exception, of course, is at the beta end where your group has had a program. I don't know if it's in the cars to continue or not.
I don't know what we're doing. We're doing some follow up on things that are not necessarily whether we're going to do another big survey is kind of still in the cards. I'm waiting to see where Justin goes for a postdoc, whether or not I convince him to look at 10,000 sources.
Yeah, but that's very useful to go to a wavelength where you can do that many sources.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about observations, but what would be very interesting is what the theorists want. What is really helpful is, you know, to shoot down some models to really make a decisive observation.
Always like all the time roll up. Wait, you say you want full support? Yeah, right.
Where can we get them? Can we get them a Radio Shack or these theorists?
You get the money. There are a lot of theorists, a lot of very good young theorists that you have money to support them on the longer term. Fermi's actually done a very good job of that relative to other missions. I think the support of theorists by the Fermi program now making it possible to have a two-year grant. It's very helpful. And the Fermi's done a lot, but there's still not enough money put into the theory program, NASA, for example, or theory supported by NSF.
mentioned to me, you know, are we all happy with the catalogs that are coming out? Is there other information that we want from the catalogs, other derivative products? He says if we're all happy, then he's happy to give them a support. And you see what the whole of the general population is. The other thing is that you have a player here and there that has a really strong signature of something that's very difficult for most of the models to explain, and then you really narrow down the models.
So the longer that you observe, the higher your chances are of certainly you're going to get more statistics, better statistics, and the higher chances are of getting some more players that have very, very specific signatures that constrain the model.
I'd like optimistic here.
I think with the denial, that's an extension of the geo. It unlocks the criteria for detection. For example, can a sizable fraction of sources which run one FGL disappeared from two FGL because they were player in the first year, but all players in the second year? And vice versa, there are some sources which may have player in the second year, but they didn't appear to have yet. So I think it would be desirable to have an extension of that.
That's right.
and best if you do it, because you, you have at hand all the calibration and all
the things that they're doing. Quite quick.
Because that's just very bright, disappear. Okay, we should transient gather, but we need some time. Just actually, but yeah, that's what that. The public monitoring the sources are all of it, for which we had not that.
The monitor source list.
The monitoring source list that now are. In the list of monitoring, so for data we go the
website. Okay, well that's good. Matt likes bright sources, so that gives you a list. But if somebody's interested in, you know, a fainter population, then you need some seeing window which is a bit longer, so that, you know, if it sort of entered into a higher, some radio galaxy enters a period of somewhat higher activity, you get those as well. Okay, exhausted that topic. We heard that 50% of BLACs are missing their redshifts. I've done that sort of hunting. I'm not suggesting we aim for 99% completeness. That's painful. But I wonder if we could find this population of high redshift BLACs, or high redshift lasers. Maybe they're not. Maybe we have to come up with a different name than BLACs. Okay, so we're already maybe finding this population.
Yeah, but what wavelength are you inferring that then? London break inferred that.
That's not
one, and I'll get back to you. It can happen in a small time.
that help you? I mean, that did last.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's the point of that method you need to use, and so you need to use all the Bible fellows to get that.
No, it shifts from point.
So what you're saying is that it's protons, not photons, that then travel long distance, and then they create the photons somewhere closer to us.
Right, one more question I want to ask. What about the unidentified sources? There's a poster here, but we haven't heard a whole lot about them. 30%. There could be a lot more blazars there. So that we have pretty good radio catalogs, but of course you can always do better. And you know, have so if you have some number of unidentifieds at high galactic latitude, you could get more radio information and then do the comparison and pick out likely candidates, probably. And then that may lead to some interesting population that's been missed.
Now, the people are studying two posters over here on the wall.
Well, we can, of course, we get a fair fraction of this, right? That's not a whole lot of BLX left. And one more catalog ought to do it.
You know,
that same set. I mean, the it's that you following basically the tag VLN, tag VLN, NGN, and then have some kind of information for the truly other.
Right, because you got to do that first. That's your basic homework. You got to make look for a blazar identification before you start chasing after, you know, annihilating dark matter in some white in some galaxy.
And then there's simple plans. There are ongoing plans for other applications. For example, in Alma Proto, our Alma Proto did get
in. Wait, your Alma Proto did get in?
No, didn't get in.
Didn't get in. Run through my list. Oh, yeah. Other. What have we? Have we missed anything? Any other topic on? Look to the future. People getting hungry for lunch. Well, let me say just a couple of words before we break up here. First, I want to thank Rupesh again for organizing this meeting. I thank the Fermi satellite for being up there. In addition to all the fantastic data that we see, it provides really a wonderful flag to rally around and bring us together. The multi-wavelength community, you know, studying blazars. I'd say at this meeting I learned a lot. It's really informative. I think it's been a great series. We've had three of them starting in 2007. Here we are in 2011, so I think you work out when we need another one. Not all that distance. It's barely too soon to start organizing the next one. Rupesh did a really good job, so he's in danger of getting tagged. I think these meetings provide a great opportunity to see old collaborators and a wonderful opportunity to put faces on some collaborators that maybe before we only knew by email. I hope that some new collaboration started up at this meeting. I think we heard some interesting ideas just in this discussion about ways that we can work together and do better science. I want to thank NASA, on behalf of the Scientific Organizing Committee, I want to thank NASA for supporting this meeting. In people terms, that's Julie and Dave, so thanks very much. And on behalf of the Scientific Organizing Committee, thank you all for coming and participating.
You're done.